Wildcat Insider, I'm Corey Dean, filling in for John Kurtz alongside of Wyatt Thompson, the voice of your Kansas State Wildcats. K-State gets the rebound win against Texas on Saturday for the men. This is just a good weekend for K-State sports, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. But you got 3 out of 4 to start baseball season. K-State women get a good win on the road against TCU. So this is a good weekend to be wearing some purple.
Yes, it was. The women's victory was especially sweet, coming back from 13 down to win 68-65. It was their 19th win. And a great way to end a stretch. Think about how hard we talk about the men's schedule all the time. They have just come off a stretch where they played 4 out of 5 on the road.
Yeah.
How hard must that be? And they were very much a part of the game at West Virginia prior to the game at TCU. Had every, I'll say at least an opportunity. Maybe not every opportunity, but an opportunity to win at West Virginia. Didn't happen, but made it work at TCU, and now a big game tomorrow night at home against Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
7 o'clock.
Tuesday night game, so yeah. It runs the schedule a little bit different, but tomorrow night at Bramlage, get on out and watch K-State women in action, and of course we'll have that game for you right here on K-Man. So if you look around the Big 12, Wednesday, K-State men will welcome Oklahoma State and Coach Underwood to town. But the Big 12 is, of course, starting to get pretty interesting. It's KU at the top after they get the comeback win versus West Virginia, where it seemed like part of Allen Fieldhouse was leaving with 2 minutes to play, which, according to Dick Vitale, never happens. And then they get the last-minute win against Baylor on the road. That's a tough win. So it's kind of KU with the 3-game lead with 4 games to play, and then a whole lot of everybody else kind of jammed up in the middle. But one of those teams is Oklahoma State, who's somehow, after starting 0-for-6 to start the Big 12, has won 8 of 9, and they sweep Bedlam against OU with the win on Saturday.
Well, let's start with Kansas here and give them credit for what they have done. And basically what they have done is win close games.
Yeah.
Whether it's at home, and they've had more close games this year at home than any year that I can remember for a while. But in the conference, they're also 6-1 on the road, and they've won virtually every close game. It's hard to do. I don't think Baylor scored in the last 4 minutes or so of that game. That's crazy when you think about it, as solid as they are offensively. But they find ways to win, and I think you have to, you know, whether you like it or not, you have to credit them for what they have done. I'll be honest, the West Virginia thing, West Virginia helped them.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Anybody, I think, with any common sense would tell you that. But for them to be 12-2 and sitting where they're at, you've got to give them credit because they have done more than everybody else. Then you look in that next grouping. Baylor has played its way back into that vicinity with West Virginia and Iowa State. Give Iowa State some credit. They've also done a good job. They're 4-3. On the road in the league. And then that little cluster there after that with Oklahoma State, Kansas State, TCU, and Tech, I think we've been saying all year long there's not a great amount of separation. But Oklahoma State, as you pointed out, really kind of is the story of that section of the league from my perspective in that you're right. When K-State was there, K-State was the one that beat them in Stillwater to make them 0-6, and they are now 7-7. And 18-9 overall, and everybody has them in right now as a pretty solid, probably 8th seed in the quote bracketology. They've done a really nice job. I think they're such a dangerous team because when you look at them, usually the most successful teams in a league race are ones where they have 2 pretty legitimate star players.
Yeah.
You can look at some of the other teams and say, well, this team has this guy and this team has this guy. Kansas has multiple players like that. I believe Oklahoma State does too. I think you look at what Jawan Evans, as an example, scored the final 16 points for Oklahoma State in that Bedlam game the other
that's
night. That's insane. And yet, I wrote this on my chart today with Oklahoma State for Jeffrey Carroll, and I think you can make there will be tons of people that disagree with this. But I think you can make a major argument that he could be a first-team all-Big 12 kind of guy. Think about it from this perspective, Corey. He is third in the league in scoring. He is ninth in the league in rebounding, fourth in field goal percentage, seventh in free throw percentage, and third in three percentage at 45%. This is a 6'6 player. Pretty good numbers.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting matchup for K-State. And that's kind of a swing game there, because that's not only a fight for position, but if you look at the Big 12 and the way it kind of starts to set up, if you're a bracketology person, like of that Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, K-State, group of three, like one of those teams I think for sure is probably getting left out. And there's a possibility, depending how those teams play, you could get one of those three. I think two or three is likely. So there's some fighting going on amongst three teams for the last couple spots.
Yeah. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are out. There's no doubt about that. The next closest to being out is Tech.
Right.
They have a lot of work to do to maybe get in. However, I think it's possible. They're 5-9, 17-10 overall. And I think going into the weekend, they were in the 90s in the RPI.
Yeah.
That would make them a fairly long shot at this particular point. But, I mean, they've got Iowa State at home tonight, as an example. And you look at, who do they got this weekend? They are at Oklahoma State. If they would have a 2-0 weekend, you could almost make an argument that they've kind of about halfway there playing their way back in.
Kansas State right now, the latest bracketology that came out from Joe Lunardi, has got your Kansas State Wildcats sitting on 11 seed, looking across the court at Creighton, which just from a television producer's perspective would be a fun game just because of the storyline with Marcus Foster, of course.
Marcus had 35, I think, Saturday.
And that Creighton team is pretty salty. Mm-hmm. They've got some athletes. That would be an interesting matchup for K-State just because you know that Creighton would try to bomb away on it, and K-State has had trouble defending the three. Now, all of this stuff where you start to get these matchups and everything in bracketology, that's a long ways down the line. But K-State at an 11 seed there. If you look over at Sports Illustrated, their bracket watch, they've got K-State on the 10 line at a 10-7 game against USC. So it seems to be a little bit of consensus there that K-State, if they finish the way they should be in the tournament.
Well, I think at this point that's probably pretty accurate. And so many people have, I think, that maybe don't follow it all that closely, even writers and broadcasters that have started to study it more in detail, have realized that there is probably a reason. I even had one writer that I saw use the word soft when it comes to the mid-majors and a couple of the conferences in the Power Five. And that's what this really probably is when you think about it. Let me give you an example. The Big Ten. If you look at the conference standings in the Big Ten and you're looking at those top three or four teams, how often do we see teams like Northwestern and Penn State? I'll tell you how often. Never.
Right.
Yeah. When was the last time the Mountain West, as an example, was a one-bid league? That's probably what they're going to be this time. So it has, and again, I'll use that term, softened, you know, the bubble a little bit there. But that does not mean that this is going to happen. From my perspective, at least, I think a team like Kansas State, a team like TCU, probably are still with work to do.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma State is probably, with their strength of schedule, I think they would have to play their way out at this point. But I think K-State still with some work to do. TCU has some work to do.
Yeah, Oklahoma State currently number 29 in the latest RPI. K-State at 57.
And there are some people that have Oklahoma State's strength of schedule as one or two nationally.
Yeah.
Along with Oklahoma, by the way.
Yeah, their out-of-conference strength of schedule is 32, but, man, their strength of schedule 20, at least the live RPI. But that's crazy. You've got the number one RPI team in the country and KU in the league. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. K-State's got a great opportunity here, of course, to close just because you get Oklahoma State, OU, who struggled, TCU, that's a game that's winnable, and then Tech left to close things out. So three of the four guys who are below you in the Big 12.
Yeah, it is an opportunity, and yet...
Got to get it.
Well, you can't think about it with the way we're saying it. It needs to be the old cliche Let's go. We can't win two in a row if we slip up at home again Wednesday night, right?
That's right.
Let's go beat Oklahoma State, and then we'll worry about Oklahoma Saturday, yeah. Right?
And I think with this squad, one game at a time is the only way that you can take
it. It is the only way. That's exactly right.
It's been some pretty wild swings this season. When we come back on Wildcat Insider, let's talk a little bit of football because we had a retirement announcement on the offensive side of the football on Monday when you and John were here, and then on Tuesday, vacancy filled, and it's a pretty familiar name, Colin Klein. Get that guy a helmet and get him out of practice. That'll be some fun. Be nice to see him on the sidelines this spring for Kansas State. We'll talk about K-State football and number 7 coming up next here on Wildcat Insider.